In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cats.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that teaches you how to train your dog and unlock a stress-free dog-owning life.
Now, today, I have to say, I picked a problem. I picked a problem, Tom, a real-life problem.
That we're going to tackle.
We are going to tackle and we're going to turn it into a solution space, because that's what we do here at Game Changer Land. So the question is, and it's from our Game Changer group, the group that all of our Sexy and a Squirrel crew go to, amazing community. And our student says, okay, so I'm running into some resistance here from my vet for ditching the bowl. She says I should be feeding my 18-week-old puppy twice per day only, and seriously must only use her food allowance in a bowl. I then should use extra treats for training and purely for training with the treats. She says by giving her food throughout the day as a reward, I'm simply teaching her she can access food all day, every day as she wants. And she's going to think that she is boss. Basically, okay. Help.
Okay. Mm. So I'd love to speak to you about it. Because I would love to understand how treats are not food.
Mm.
Right? How is that? Mm. How does your dog know that the food has come from food bag versus the treat bag?
I count all food as treats in my world. Yeah. All food is treats. Like, I don't mean for the dogs. I mean for me.
It should kind of make us ask the question. You know, what is food and why do we use it for training? Well, food is like a little bit of portable value, and we get to put that value into different things. We get to create experiences from that thing, and that thing could be labeled a food, it could be labeled a treat. They are one in the same. And I think this is where, it's something that we encounter a lot, you know, this difference, but also it kind of highlights why really your vet should be really encouraging ditch the bowl, because ideally we want that value to be your dog's daily food allowance and to make up like a complete meal over the course of a week that has all the nutrients and everything else that your dog needs for that week. And so to actually say, you know what, use treats and save your daily food allowance, that kind of is a little bit strange. So I guess the first thing is, the first kind of response to that is, well, there is absolutely no difference to your dog between a food and a treat. So if, as your vet says, your dog is trying to take over the world and wants to dominate you, I'm afraid that even by that route, your dog is going to take over the world, lock you in a cupboard and say, I dominate you.
And on a serious note, for those of you that are concerned here about this whole dominate thing, so both Tom and I are definitely not of the mindset that dogs are trying to take over the world and dominate and boss us about. Ultimately, whether you feed your dog once a day or whether you feed your dog like we do through games throughout the day, it ultimately is about experience and training. Yeah. And for both Tom and I, one of the biggest reasons that we ditch the bowl, and we really do ditch the bowl, and all of you guys in Sexy and a Squirrel, you guys have got Ditch the Bowl ebooks and Ditch the Bowl Raw Edition. So there's lots of different ways to do it. Ultimately, it's about an enriching, rewarding experience that allows us to pay into that bank account at every single opportunity. In fact, Tom and I have just got off filming some super cool nifty stuff.
Yeah.
And we were filming a youngster who ultimately has lots of different choices to make and how we're using her food to allow her to make those choices a little bit more easy, right?
Absolutely. Now, the second thing that we should probably kind of tackle in that is this whole concept of your vet believing that your dog is trying to dominate you. And that's based on some really false studies that looked at a group of wolves. wolves and said, oh, interesting, interesting. Some of the wolves got access to resources before others, and there was like a hierarchy. And then from that, somehow, just a few leaps later, it became that actually dogs are trying to create this dominance hierarchy, and they're doing it in our households. Now, the reality is that dogs are a social species, but more specifically, they're a family group species. And so instead of thinking about things in terms of hierarchies, actually they live in a family group where the cool thing is that they really are about helping and supporting each other and having an amazing relationship with each other. And thankfully, they apply this same logic, which is very logical, to our human households as well. They live in our family groups. Now, those studies, what they did is they looked at an artificial group of wolves. So they just chucked a load of wolves together in kind of a zoo environment. They weren't a family group. They weren't related, and said, right, fight it out. Now, think about it. Think about your family, yeah? Your family, you'll share the bread. Now think about, you've just been put in a room full of strangers and there's a limited amount of bread. There will be some people that will get the bread and some that will not.
How sad.
And it's not based on whether they are an alpha or a beta or how dominant they are.
Or how bossy they are.
It's actually based on how much do you want the bread?
How quick are they?
How much are you prepared to fight for the bread? How much have you in the past successfully fought for bread and thought, you know what, I'm going to go in for this bread. And so
I'm the winner of the bread.
That's what determines whether there are resources or not. Not some kind of intrinsic personality type or some desire to take over the world.
I think that it's such a common misconception, and it's lasted a long time, yeah. But it's definitely one of those myths that we as game changers would love to help contribute and dispel.
Yeah.
Because actually, as a myth, it's a pretty harmful one.
Yeah.
And it actually harms our relationships and our considerations of who our dog is and who they are in our household.
The frame with which you approach interacting with your dog is huge. You know, let's take an example. Let's say, I don't know, we were just working with a little puppy called Nifty. And let's say Nifty came and sat next to Lauren, or even sat on Lauren's lap,
Put her feet on mine.
Yeah. Now, what happened here? Well, if we have the frame that Nifty is out to control the world and dominate all of us, well, Nifty has just asserted her dominance over Lauren.
Oh my God. What if she weed on my feet? I mean, can you imagine?
Is saying, I own you.
I own you.
Or we approach this as we're part of a family. They're a social species. We like interacting with Nifty. Nifty likes interacting with us. Maybe she just wants to sit next to us.
And maybe she just wanted some comfort or some
maybe
warmth.
Maybe she wants a bit of warmth.
Or she
maybe
wanted
she
some
wanted a pat.
Like, oh my Lord, how damaging.
And yet it's just a difference of a frame.
How damaging could that be to a new family bringing the dog in? And this is why, guys, I'm going to ask you here, please share this podcast.
Yeah.
Please share this podcast. Share it with a friend. Share it with a neighbor. Share it with a family member. Mm. Share it with your mother, your sister, your father, your long lost brother, whoever it is that you think should have this.
Yeah.
Someone you walk with in the park. Tell someone about it. Put it on your social media. I think this is really important that we dispel this myth as a community of game changers, and we actively show the world that actually there's a much more fun way about this, right?
Absolutely. So next, I guess, response that we've got to that, I think you're great for putting it out there to the world and saying you want to change this person's mind, your vet's mind. I think sometimes you've got to, give your thought, give your belief, give your understanding, give your knowledge. And then there has to be a point where you say, I have exposed them to this information, and when they are ready, there for them to receive it.
It sounds like you really have, because you've given them, I love what you've done. I commend you highly. You've given them Ditch the Bowl.
Yeah.
You've given them the ebook from Sexy and a Squirrel. So you've given them that. And those of you that aren't part of Sexy and a Squirrel, it's probably the best place to come into. Yeah. You could come into that space. How does someone new get into Sexy and a Squirrel?
So all you got to do is head to absolutedogs.me/sexy and you can enroll in the challenge. It's 25 days, a game a day each day. And we also cover learning like this within each lesson as well. So
all
it's
ages,
really, really comprehensive.
All stages, absolutely comprehensive, brilliant, place to come into. Yeah. So entry point for anyone out there who might need this. But for me, pick your battles. Yeah. You know what? She sounds like she's already got your, you've put her on board. So you've given her the things she might want to see. Mm-hmm. At the moment, she's probably not ready to receive them. That's absolutely fine. Mm-hmm. You've shown her a path. Now you stick on yours. And let's pick our battles and let's not put ourselves in compromising positions where we don't really feel good either.
No.
Because I think that sometimes happens, doesn't it, Tom? That actually we don't feel good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, an amazing coach of mine says something, and I always kind of relate back to it. And I really like this. Really like this way of putting it. She says, "Tom, coach and go." You do not kind of hang around. You do not linger. You do not think about it and think about how that person doesn't understand or how that person, you know, might not be, might not be receptive to it. You coach and then you go. And then there might be another opportunity to coach and then go. And you do not need to let it kind of sit in your brain
and
or let it upset you.
And you don't need to give excuses and give reasons and give, to be honest, an argument. Mm. You don't need to give a counter.
Nope.
Actually, give the information and leave.
Yeah.
Coach Walk out
go.
The door.
Coach and go.
Don't turn around. No, okay. Okay, we should move on. Okay, another one.
Just on that, oh, go on. I think we should tackle this. And
you're
this
not
is,
welcome.
This,
any, what, that one?
I don't know. Okay. This is totally a personal, only the person that wrote that, the game changer that wrote that will know this answer. However, sometimes you will have someone who is, you know, you want to be part of your team, and it might be a vet, it might be an animal professional, it might be a dog trainer, right? A professional dog trainer for those of you who go to training classes.
For me, I'll tell you that it might be my groomer.
Yeah.
So it might be my groomer.
And yet they might not actually be appropriate for your team. There might be a better person waiting to step into your team that you're going to reach even higher heights with, who's more aligned with you, you're
and
more aligned with them.
I'll be absolutely honest here. Tom's not my vet, not because of any other reason other than he's not in the location. So Tom is not in the local location. But my vet, I did change. Mm-hmm. I changed because I was realizing that we were not aligned. Mm-hmm. And actually someone better was out there.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want them to handle like that. And I didn't want them to take them away from me. And I didn't want them to do certain things. And actually we had such differing opinions. Mm-hmm. That actually it was never going to align.
Yeah.
And so my vet, and like I said, I'm in we're about an hour apart from where Tom's surgery is. So my vet is local. But for me, that worked to have to change from a previous vet because I knew that we just aligned better.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important to acknowledge.
And sometimes we forget as dog owners, we get to choose who is in our team. We get to decide.
We are empowered as owners to make decisions. We are effectively pet parents, so we can make our pet parent decisions. And I know I've not really used that term before, and I know it's definitely one of the ones that a lot of the American crew I chat to, they all use. But we are. We're the responsible decision-making body in that relationship. And actually, just because one vet says that's the way, it's my way or the highway, doesn't mean that's the correct way. There's lots of different opinions in that field. And Tom's, for sure, I would know, would be very different to that vet. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I align much better with what Tom thinks and what my vet thinks. So that's who I align with.
Yeah.
And so often there is a gap, right, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So what else might we say? You know what? Absolutely be intentional and get out and do it. Mm-hmm. Don't think about it. Yeah. Don't think twice.
Walk
also, I think, does it feel right for you? And by the sounds of it, and I was reading your comments and I was reading all the things you were saying, you're doing all the right things. In fact, I did say I might be going away soon and would Blink be able to come for a holiday because she likes the sound of all the things you're doing with enrichment. And so the owner that we're discussing, like she literally is doing everything right. Enrichment and Kongs and bones and chews and food all around that she can access when she needs to and ditches the type of food she uses, doesn't use one food, uses a mixture. Like literally this is our perfect owner and is doing so much right. So don't doubt yourself.
No.
Don't double doubt yourself. Get and be intentional about it. Start to focus on where you're growing and what you're doing. And actually, these are things we can do.
Yeah.
And these are directions we can move in a positive way without questioning ourselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, revisiting that core concept of ditch the bulk, because some of you might be listening and you're like, this is the first episode I've caught. What have you been doing? And also,
where have you
what
been?
Is ditch the bulk and how do I get involved? Well, Ditch the Bowl, there's effectively this idea that your dog wakes up every day with this pot of value, and it's their daily food allowance, and you get to decide where that value goes. You get to decide where that daily food allowance goes.
If you are part of Sexy and the Squirrel, there is a Ditch the Bowl ebook, and there's a Ditch the Bowl Raw Edition where we talk about this. So please, please check it out. And if you aren't, you know how to get involved.
And rule number one is we're not going to put that value into a bowl so that your dog has an amazing relationship with the bowl and has loads of value in gravitating towards the food bowl. Rule number two is, where do we spend that value? Because it's got to be in areas that you want to grow, right? If you're wanting to grow calmness in your dog, or you're wanting to grow your dog's desire to be close to you, spend the value there. If you're wanting to grow your dog's optimism and confidence, put the value into optimism and confidence.
So you effectively get to choose, whereas you put your food in a bowl and you've made the choice to basically throw it away.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's such an alien thought to put it in a bowl. Like, it actively would pain me.
Yeah.
Other than their supplement, if I was giving some supplement, or other than some medication, if I couldn't find a cleverer way to do it. Mm-hmm. However, I just don't, it's just not an enriching way to have your food. It's kind of like saying to me, would you like to have it in, drink your dinner? Like, it's just not got the same experience level. So for me, it's an experience level that you have when you ditch the bowl. So yeah, ditch the bowl. We're absolute advocates for it. We 100% know that we get real life results and games-based learning through being able to utilize some of our food through ditch the bowl. And it works with raw, it works with kibble, it works with all different types of dog food. Ultimately, you make the decisions. You are the very best advocate you can be for your dog.
So that is our response to you. That's our response to your vet. Take it and do with it what you like. But we felt like we should give you our opinion and our response because you asked us. That was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. We will see you in the next episode. And remember,
stay sexy.
Hey, before you go, have you taken part in the worldwide Sexier Than a Squirrel Challenge?
It's a 25-day online video program. Huge energy, amazing community, and over 6,000 people are already taking part.
The only question is, you know where you are today, where do you want to be 25 days from now? Head to absolutedogs.me/sexy.